WRKC is proud to present the third season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 30th episode, Tumble.
It was hot for the tail end of April. A little too hot for thick-blooded people such as myself. I sat at my desk, fanning myself with an old case file, wondering when this heat wave would let up. Deborah was at her desk, which was a very nice thing to call the bedstand she'd been using the past few weeks, leaning against the wall and making noises vaguely reminiscent of the dying throes of some elder animal.
Deborah?
Hello, Marla. Phew, how do you like this heat wave, huh?
Oh, I don't mind it all that bad.
Good afternoon, Marla. Marla said nothing. She took off her purse and coat, glanced in my direction briefly, and went to sit on the upturned wastebasket in the corner. She was still sore from my aid on a case of hers a few weeks back. Things must be worse than I realized, seeing as there was an open chair right next to me. I thought I was helping. She thought I was taking over. Hell, in all honesty, maybe I was.
Deborah, could you inform Harry that I'm only staying until my shift comes around?
Well, why don't you tell him yourself?
Please, Deborah?
All right. Hey, Harry!
I heard her. Why don't you tell Miss Newman to address me directly instead of dictating her comments to you? Can you do that?
All right. Marla, Harry wants you to...
Yeah, well, maybe you could ask Harry why he doesn't lead by example.
Harry, Marla thinks you should...
Well, would you kindly remind her that she was the one who started it? And I feel she should be the one to cease.
Marla, Harry would like to...
Well, you can tell Harry that he can...
I have to deliver one message in full. Let me do my job. Harry feels as though you should be the one to stop first. There, I feel better.
Marla and I were sitting glaring at each other, our anger building up. The tension in the air was so thick you could cut it with a severely dulled army-issued butter knife. Luckily, Deborah made a noise that I believe was a botched attempt to clear phlegm out of her throat, which oddly enough eased the tension. I went back to fanning myself and she went back to her can. I went to answer the phone. Deborah wasn't able to fit it on her desk anymore, so she decided it was no longer her duty. Dames. Hello, Harry Flynn Detective Agency. Flynn here.
Hello, Mr. Flynn. I'm new here in town, and I might have a job for you.
All right, Mr.,
Pickett. Chester T. Pickett.
Mr. Pickett. What kind of job are we talking about here, Mr. Pickett?
Well, look, I'm real sorry. I've never been comfortable with these phones. Is there some place we could meet to talk, you know, mano?
Sure thing. You just tell me the time and the place.
Well, how's about the K-8 Saloon as soon as possible?
Cage Saloon. Been there a couple of times. Been there a bunch of times. I'll meet you there in a few minutes, Mr. Pickett.
Just call me Chet.
I hung up the phone, putting on my suit jacket and fedora despite the sweltering heat. One has to keep up appearances.
Going to the bar already, Harry?
Yes, to meet a client.
I guess I'll see you in a couple of hours.
You're an absolute riot, you know that?
Not half as funny as you are staggering around.
Oh, sure, why don't you? Look, I've got no time for this. In reality, I had no idea where the hell the KH Saloon was, but, I'll roll with it. I ended up driving around for 15 minutes until I found the place. KH Saloon looked like the kind of place burned-out caricatures of cowboys or Wild West show actors came to relive their glory days. I let myself inside.
What can I do you for?
Yes, hi, there's a man around here by the name of Chester Pickett. Could you point him out for me?
Right down here, Padre.
Remember that bit I just said about burnt-out caricatures and such? The man who waved me down wore a long leather duster and wide-brimmed cowboy hat, even in this dreadful weather. The man must have been upwards of 70 years old, but was built like a bull moose. He busied himself about rolling a cigarette in one calloused hand while extending to me the other.
Howdy.
Hello. Harry Flynn, we talked over the phone.
What's the phrase, your reputation procedure?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Depends on who's asking.
True. So, what line of work are you in, Chet?
Well, I was a ranch hand for a while, till the Battle of Little Bighorn. Then I joined up with one of them there Wild West Reviews.
Never would have guessed it.
I was a sharpshooter. Back then, they just called me Six-Hit Picket. Just got out of it 2, maybe 3 years ago.
You two want anything?
Glass of whiskey, plenty of ice.
Same, but no ice.
No ice? On a day like this?
Son, I've lived in places that would make this seem like a bitter cold day in mid-October. Besides, I like my drink strong.
No argument there. So what's your business in the city? He looked up at me, raising a delicately rolled cigarette up to his mouth, struck a match off the bar and lit it. The strong stink of tobacco filled up the room. I tried my best not to cough.
My business is settling an old score. You have the time for an old ranch hand to tell you a story?
Sure. I'm all ears.
Good. Just give me a minute.
He smoked most of the cigarette and put it out on the back of his hand without a flinch. He then proceeded to down the whiskey in one gulp, quickly overturning the glass. This cowboy was definitely more of a man than most of the men, women, and children I knew put together.
Now, way back, when I was just a young rancher, I'd won me some money gambling. Along with that money, I'd won a piece of land. Now that night, I did what any young know-nothing kid would have done with their paycheck. Went out and spent it all on booze.
Some of us would still do that with a good paycheck. Continue.
Now, I swear to you, as drunk as I had gotten, I made sure to keep the title for that land close to my heart. Well, with me that night was a friend named Earl Chastings. He got liquored up with me, too. Now, mind you, not as much. And when I woke up the next morning, he was gone and the claim with him. Now, I was a mite angry, but let it go. What could you do? Besides, I still had a good chunk of winnings on me. But when I got here, I saw this poster. Take a look.
He pulled out a small folded square, unfolding it fervently. The square slowly turned into an ad for Oil Charge Estates, founded by E.R. Chastings.
Now, you see that man's name? E.R.?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not certain, but I'd be willing to bet that's old Earl. I just think that maybe you could poke around a little bit for me. Maybe find out whether or not he came about this land, legitimately.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Barkeep! Another whiskey. And a pen, if you don't mind.
Here you are.
Much obliged.
Chet, once again, downed it all in one go. He wrote down the number of the hotel he was staying at on the back of the poster and handed it off to me. I took it, nodded, and went upon my way. Before I knew it, I was back at the office.
Ah, so you finally returned. You drunk?
No, not entirely.
Oh, Hosanna, it's a sign of the apocalypse. Mala left you a note on your desk.
That's nice. Deborah, I want you to...
No, Harry. Listen to me. Mala left a note on your desk.
I understood the first time. Now leave me be, I have work to do. I was too busy to look over the note at the time. Instead, I took out the poster and gave it another once over. Oil Charge Estates was a large series of individual plots that were all drilled out sometime in the 1900s and had just been given new life as pieces of real estate. I found the number for their corporate headquarters and gave them a call.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for calling Oil Charge Estates. How may I help you today?
I was wondering if it would be at all possible to speak with E.R. Chastings.
One moment, please. I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Chastings is not in at the moment.
Oh, when will he be back?
Let me check. I'm being informed that Mr. Chastings passed away 15 years ago.
Well, who's in charge now?
Let me see. Ah, here we are, a Miss Rebecca Chastings, his daughter.
Is she in?
One moment, please, sir.
Oh, it's you! Nothing.
Hello, Rebecca Chastings, President and CEO of Oil Charge Estates. What can I do for you today, sir?
Hi there, I'm Sven Bjornsson, Esquire. I have a few legal questions I'd like to ask you about your estates, if that's all right.
Well, certainly. We have nothing to hide here at Oil Charge. What's your first question?
Is, everything up to standards?
There's no sort of code violations going on here. We pride ourselves on our honest work.
Uh-huh. Well, what's it like being a female executive today?
You know, it's a lot harder than people realize. There aren't an awful lot of us out there, and...
All right. I wasn't really that interested. One more question.
Certainly.
Did your father happen to steal this piece of real estate from someone else?
What?
What I meant to say was it a steal? And by that I mean available at a reasonable price. Smooth.
I'm sorry. I don't know exactly why or how my father obtained this piece of land. Is that all?
Over the phone, yes. I'd love to discuss this with you further in person. Is there some place we could meet?
How about my place? 232 Lower Arbor Drive, 5 p.m. Where something... Nice.
I think I just set up a date with an executive. What the hell. I'll roll with it. I put on my best cheap suit and acrid cologne, pulled around my car, and drove out of the city to 232 Lower Arbor. Lower Arbor is widely regarded as a sort of wealthy person's oasis, just on the outskirts of the city. I knocked at the large cherry wood front door of her stately manor.
Yes?
Hi there. I believe I'm seeing Miss Chastings.
Mr. Bjornsen?
Yes.
Ah, yes, you are expected. Please do come in.
Don't mind if I do. The butler escorted me into a large and expansive great hall that was no less than 65% gilded with fine metal. It'd take me a lifetime working two jobs to afford. I walked around, looking at the pieces of modern art interspersed between all manner of exotic plants.
Good evening, Mr. Bjornsen.
When I turned around, what waited to greet me was a beautiful ginger-haired woman, hair cut in the style of Garbo and with a dress to match. Her hair, that is. Not Garbo.
Won't you please come into the dining room? We have a wonderful meal prepared.
I was spellbound by this woman into complacency. We made our way into the dining room. I tasted some of the best food I'd ever had in my life, and plenty of it. Once we had both had our fills, and admittedly my fill was a lot fuller than hers, we struck up a conversation.
So, Sven, may I call you Sven?
Lady, you can call me whatever you want. Oh, yeah, yeah, Sven, that's my...
All right.
Yeah, yes.
Sven, what's it like being a lawyer?
Oh, it's great.
I'm sure it's fascinating. When did you pass the bar?
Oh, I don't have that much upper arm strength.
Excuse me?
Old lawyer's joke. Do you have a telephone?
Well, sure. Why? Do you need to use it?
I have to place a call about some lawyering.
All right.
Herschel!
Yes?
Could you escort Mr. Bjornsen to the nearest phone?
But of course.
What's up with that guy's voice? I got to the phone and dialed the number Chet wrote down on the back of the poster for me.
Howdy.
Chet?
Henry?
Close enough.
Where are you?
In the home of the current president of Oil Charge Estates. I'm Miss Rebecca Chastings on 232 Lower Arbor Drive.
Mm-hmm. What'd you find out?
Well, Chet, it's not conclusive, but I'd say we just might have our... When I came to, I was strapped to one of the beams from a large abandoned oil rig on the mansion's property. Damn it, not again.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Tumble, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Wonderful meal, Denise!
Huh?
I say wonderful meal tonight!
What about the stock market?
Good meal!
Oh, yes!
Turnips are a bit tough, though.
What?
I say the turnips are tough!
I agree!
If only there was some way to...
Herbert, you don't have to shout. I'm right here.
Oh, if only there was some way to...
What?
If only there was some way to ease the eating process by, I don't know, somehow softening or possibly even liquefying these turnips!
Well, now there is... How many times has this happened to you? You have a bit of hard-cooked egg, or in Herbert's case, a particularly stubborn turnip? You could diligently and carefully boil it, cut it, mash it, reheat it, and eat it. But you simply don't have the time for it. Let's face it, you two don't have the time for too awful much anymore.
How do you know my name? And how did you get into our home?
I'm calling the authorities, you ruffian!
Now, hold on there, Denise. You don't even know what I'm here for.
It better not be my war bonds.
It's not your war bonds, but it is peace of mind for the battle against tough foods. New, from Kenway, Kenway & Kradulovich Incorporated, comes the Cutto Cup. The Cutto Cup is a metal cup that sits on a mechanical rotary housing base containing 5 razor-honed knives, which, when activated, cut and liquefy foodstuffs from the bottom up.
Rotary what now?
That sounds incredibly dangerous.
The Cutto Cup can be used to liquefy everything from grapefruit and bananas to chicken and gorgonzola cheese in a matter of seconds. Crepes and cream cheese? Why not? Pears and savory duck à l'orange? It's your call! For the small fee of 4 cents in a Canadian loon, this amazing offer can be yours! But don't take my word for it. Let's hear some of our wonderfully positive testimonials.
Do not buy this product under any circumstances. I was trying one of the friendly suggestions they put on the box. Number 42, breakfast to go. Well, as I was putting the bacon on top of the pancakes, right before I went for the coffee and orange juice, my tie fell into the cup. At that moment, out of nowhere, the thing jumped to life. And I'll tell you something. If it weren't for the swift and prudent work of Dr. Jonathan Boyd, I don't know what would have happened.
I was making myself a chicken and salmon pulverized drink when, what do you know, my watch fell into the cutter cup. Well, it was a good watch, and I wasn't about to let it get destroyed. One thing led to another, and now they call me Captain Hook at work. Do you have any idea how hard it is to file mail with a hook hand? Do you? I hate you, Cuttercup. I hate you!
I love the Cuttercup so much. Sometimes, I just like to round up some cockroaches and rats and I just...
Whoa! Carter, I think you and I need to have a heart-to-heart about what a positive testimonial is. Well, Herb and Denise, what do you think? Can I put you down for a Cuttercup today?
No, but you can come down to the station with me.
What?
Sir, you're under arrest for breaking and entering, homicide, and attempted manslaughter.
Oh, come on. That was 2 seasons ago. This is a bum rap.
Into the car, sir.
Cuttercup. That's 1-800-CUTTERCUP. 1-800- Don't shove, I'm going. 1-800-CUTTERCUP!
It wouldn't have sold anyhow.
What?
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Well, Chad, it's not conclusive, but I'd say we just might have our...
I'm no expert on this sort of stuff, but I don't think that's the way a phone conversation's supposed to end. I rolled myself another cigarette and lit it up. Barkeep! Phone. He slid me down the phone and I called the number of the fella's office. Figured if anybody should know what's happening, it's anybody who's still there.
Hello?
Hello, do you work for, Mr. Harry Flynn?
For now.
Howdy. My name's Chet. I'm the fella he came to see today.
Oh, good.
I just thought you should know. I think he's in some sort of trouble. Should we do anything about it?
Yeah, let me call the police.
And wouldn't you know it, that whiny woman did go ahead and call the cops. They sent a squad car to come and pick me up. Good thing, too, because I had no idea where that fella's office was. And I was given the works by some fellas called Spinelli, Murdoch, and some crazy chica named Spamoza.
Mr. Pickett, thank you for your cooperation in this matter. We will attend to this as soon as time permits.
As time permits. Robert, this is Harry we're talking about. He has a list of people who want him dead longer than your arm. We can't wait.
He's right. We have to go now.
And that Spamoza character just ran right out. Other folks didn't seem deterred, though.
I'm sorry, Travis. There's just not enough of a free police force right now. As you know, there's a huge spike in petty crime during hot weather. We just can't spare it right now. It was nice meeting you, Mr. Pickett.
Call me Chet.
Chet, I'm sorry. That's the final word on it.
With that, the lawman left. I couldn't help thinking that it just didn't seem right. Here was this fella, Flynn, who worked for the law being left high and dry by it. Sure, he bends the rules, from what Murdoch and Spinach Boy tell me. But shoot, who don't? Hey, lawman, you got a car?
Yeah, why?
Well, the way I see it, I figure you and me could go down to that mansion and see what's for. They didn't call me six-hit Pickett in the Wild West show for nothing.
You know, usually I'd be a little wary about jumping into a car with a 6-foot-6-inch cowboy I've just met, but hey, why not? Let's do it.
We got into his car and started off toward the house out in the country. Never could get used to these automobiles. Too smooth. We were about 7/10 of the way there when...
No! Yeah!
What's the problem?
I'm all out of gas. Whoopsie doodle.
Well, let's get some more.
Yeah, that'd be fine. If there were a gas station around here. Which there isn't.
Huh. That is a bit of a hindrance. I started looking around to see if there was anything we could use to get there.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 4th annual Lower Auburn Horseback Races.
Well, that'll work. Come on. I've got an idea. How good are you at riding?
Riding what? Those? Oh, no.
What? What's the problem?
Okay, I've never told anyone this before in my life, but I'm terrified of horses.
Well, we ain't got a whole lot of options, so just close your eyes when we're on. And hold on.
And they're off! Out the gate, it's Liam, followed shortly by Hey, what's my name? Neck and neck, third and fourth, our new England Spangle and Bluey Saddle. What's this? It seems an old man dressed up like a cowboy is luring away Liam from the race with a carrot. Oh my, this is an exciting race! And now, yes, the man has successfully lured away Liam, and Liam is now out of the race! Ooh, Liam's owner's not too happy about that! Now the old man and some policeman are getting on Liam and riding him away! In all my years of broadcasting, never before have I seen such a sight!
Meanwhile, at the base of an old abandoned oil rig...
You thought you were so smart, didn't you?
Rebecca Chastains was staring down at me, my wallet in her one hand and the poster in the other.
You thought I actually believed you were a lawyer? No. I saw right through that during the phone call, Mr. Flynn. I even figured out you were working for Chet. My daddy warned me my entire life about Chet. He told me from when I was a little girl on up, "Darling, if you're ever to meet a man named Chet Pickett, first thing you should do is shoot him."
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm working for him, so where does that leave me?
Well, that's just it. I haven't figured that part out just yet.
If you knew who I was, you could have tracked me down. Why the hell did you invite me down to the mansion?
Because, Mr. Flynn, a cat doesn't kill its mouse straight away. It plays with it beforehand.
So it looks like Chet was right. ER.
Ran off with his deed. Hey, that's life. My daddy reasoned he could do more with that chunk of land than Chet would have ever realized. My daddy was a good businessman.
Your daddy was a thief and a liar. That's one hell of an arm for a woman. My jaw cracked against one of the beams of the oil rig, promptly stomping my conversation. She pulled out a little baby revolver from a purse she had on her shoulder.
I was going to use this bullet on Chet, but I have more, and I think I need the practice.
I saw a dim figure silhouetted up at an old oil rig behind the mansion. I didn't waste any time in riding up there. I pulled out one of the 3-6 shooters I always keep loaded and with me, and aimed it at the outstretched arm of a young girl with ginger hair.
My gun! Oh, who did that?
I reckon it'd be me, missy.
Is that...
Yes. Yes, it is.
The little lady charged at me, but being on a horse, I literally had the upper hand. So I used it. I grabbed her by the arm and put her to sleep using a technique shown to me by an old Native American medicine man.
Chet?
Finn?
Close enough. You mind untying me?
You know, that whole horse riding thing is... Oh, God.
Poor fella. After he was all done, I untied Flynn and used the same rope to tie up Miss Chastings. Poor little girl wouldn't been in any sort of trouble if she just stayed out of the way. Now, from what the spinach man tells me, she's looking down some hefty time in the clink.
Spinelli, come here. You directly disobeyed my orders. I told you in no uncertain terms not to go out, and you went out anyway. What do you have to say for yourself?
Harry needed our help. Do what you want to me, but that's how I feel.
Normally, I would put you on suspension for this, but to tell the truth, I'm impressed. Good job, Spinelli.
I'd love to take the credit for it, but it was all that man's doing.
Well then, good job. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Pickett. Chester T. But Chet's fine. That Murdoch fella came up and patted me on the back. I headed over to talk to Mr. Flynn, but as I was going, some mousy little woman made a beeline straight to him.
Harry, I heard what happened. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Nothing worse than usual.
Good. Did you get to read my note?
No, I've been a little preoccupied with being kidnapped and all.
Oh. Well, then I'll just have to come right out and say it. Harry, I'm leaving you.
What? Where's this coming from?
Trust me, it's been a long time coming. I was thinking about why we were together and...
Is there anything you want me to do? Could I,
No, Harry, let me talk. You're a great detective. In all honesty, you're a hell of a lot better than I am. I don't know whether to chalk that up to years of experience or some sort of natural talent. It's just that... I think that's the reason why I became so infatuated with you. Somewhere along the line of professional admiration and emulation came a sort of, I don't know, odd obsession. And I fell in love with you. But that's the thing. Even in the best of it, I didn't know if I was in love with you or the idea of you. I think it was the latter.
Marla, I'm sorry. I've been a jerk lately. I'll do whatever you want, just don't do this.
I have to. Harry, I never loved you. I was just in love with you. I'm sorry.
She kissed this Flynn fella on the forehead and just sort of walked off. Such is life, I guess. I'd better go talk to the boy. Say, fella, how'd you like a drink?
Not tonight, Chet. Not tonight.
And with that, he sort of limped off into the night. I'd only seen one other fella like that in my entire life. He, like me, was an old ranch hand. His name was Everett, and he had fallen head over heels with a young Mexican girl. As they were eloping, they ran into a group of them there, banditos? Everett came out all right. The girl, on the other hand, well, it's best not to recall that here. The moral is, Not that all stories have altogether happy endings, do they?
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Tumble, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah, Spimosa, and Captain Hook. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Random Cop. Jennifer Momenzada as Marla, Receptionist, and Miss Sadist. Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Commercial Announcer, Old Woman, Butler, and Radio Announcer. Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Spinelli, Old Man, and Barkeep. Mark Zurich as Chester T. Pickett and Ty. And special guest Esmeralda Kumquat as Rebecca Chastings. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes. Also, we'd like to extend a special thank you to Edgar Allan Poe for publishing the first-ever detective story April 20th, about 170 years ago. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't be able to make the subpar programming that you know and begrudgingly tolerate.